Hey Charlotte, hey Miss Barbara. Good to see everybody logging in this morning. Hey Miss Maxine, hope everybody's having a blessed Sunday morning. Excited to be with y'all. Brother Robert's excited too. And we're ready to worship the Lord. We're ready to pray, and I'm ready to preach. And hey Kristen, Drew and Miranda, we're just ready to give God all the glory. I know y'all are too. So, hey, Miss Linda, we're going to get started here in just a second. Hey, Miss Wendy, good to see you. Miss Jessica and Gerald, it's really cool to see everybody logging in. And, you know, I can imagine y'all all sitting in your different spots where you usually sit in the church, but I'm so thankful that wherever you're at right now, whether you're at home or somewhere else, that we're still together. Amen. So Sam and Miss Lynn, Keegan and Sandy, William and Elaine, I hope everything is going well. Miss Edwina, I hope everybody's doing good. We'll wait just another minute or so, and then we're going to get started. All right, Rick and Marilyn. Hey, Kathy. Hope everybody's doing good. Hey, Miss Renee. Yes, Lynn, we are so excited for the good news that you got, and we're praising the Lord right along with you. Hey, Miss Joan, good to see y'all. God still answers prayers. That's not just something he did in the Bible. He still does it today. Hey, Miss Joanne, good to have you with us this morning. Miss Margie, Miss Edie. Before we get started, we're going to get started here in just a second. As your pastor, I just want to say I miss you. I love you. Praying for you. And looking forward to the day that we can all get back together here. And I'm going to continue to tell you that if you need me, just call me. I'm one call away. And I still want to minister to you in any way possible during this time. And I'm just so thankful to be a part of God's family here at Pine Grove Baptist Church. So thank y'all for letting me be a part of that. And thank y'all for being at church this morning. Yeah, good morning, Gina, to Cooper and Connor. I see Kim Bruce logged on. Hey, buddy, love you, man. Appreciate you being with us this morning. I hope everybody's doing well, and I hope you're ready to worship. God is still on the throne. He's still worthy of our worship and our praise. He always will be. Hey, Katie, see you logged in there. He's always going to be worthy, and it's always a privilege every single day that we have when we get to open our eyes and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what we're about to do. So put away every distraction, get your heart and your minds right, and get ready to worship our Lord. I see Miss Denise has logged in. Sarah's in. Miss Sue, good to see everybody logged in this morning. And so thankful that y'all are going to worship with us. So, all right, I think we're, yep, Sarah, tell Ray and the girls we said hello. Hope everybody's doing well. I think we're close enough to the time now, so we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to open us in prayer, and then I'm going to turn things over to Mr. Robert, all right? Y'all pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so good to be together with our church family, Lord. It's so good to take a few minutes and sing praises to your name. It's so good, Lord, to open the Word of God. The Word of God is living and powerful, and it's so good for us And so we look forward to opening your word today and pray that you would speak to us, speak to our hearts, change our hearts, God, so that when we end our time together, that we're closer to you and we're ready to live lives that point others to you, God. That's what it's all about, Lord. We love you. We pray, God, that you would bless everybody that's with us, everybody that can't be with us this morning. Lord, we just lift them up. Everybody that's got prayer, health issues, Lord, we lift those up to you in prayer. And even the ones that we don't know the details about, Lord, you know every detail. And so, God, we just pray that you would bless in every situation, that you draw us close to you, that we'll feel your presence. We pray against any kind of distraction that would keep our minds from focusing on you. And we just pray that that you will be pleased with the worship and with the time in the word this morning. So we love you, and we ask all these things in the precious and holy, matchless name of Jesus Christ. If you agree with that prayer, say amen.
Amen.
Brother Quitman, I see you logged in there. Miss Sandy, good to see y'all this morning. I'm going to turn things over now to Brother Robert. Y'all get ready to worship.
Good morning. Hope everybody's doing well. I don't get to see your names and everything like the pastor does. I'm a ways from the phone. But good morning to you all. I remember a show as a kid that I used to watch, and it was called Romper Room. I don't know if y'all had anything like that. But over in Mississippi, and this woman would get on there, and she'd look into her magic mirror, and she would say, "I see Robert, and I see Tommy and John and Jimmy and all these, so I see all of you out there. Good to see you this morning." Gonna start out this morning with a song entitled, and we've sang it here at church, and it's kind of new to us, but I love it. And, it's one of the newer songs we've learned out of our hymnal, or we're learning, and it's called The Potter's Hand. The scripture used today is, "We're the clay, you're the potter. We all are the work of your hands." You know, sometimes, folks, we forget that. We think we got a little bit of something to do with who we are. And to an extent, we do, but yet we don't. Because, see, the Father, you know it, and I know it, but we forget it. He's molding us, he's making us, and he's shaping us into the image of his Son. And in Romans 8:29, it says, "For we've been ordained to be conformed to the image of his Son." So am I being that clay today that he'd have me to be? Or I'm being an old brittle rock that can't be formed and fashioned? So let's sing this song. Let's worship.
Amen.
Beautiful Lord,
and here's another one that we've sang. It's new to us.
Okay.
And I knocked my stand over. Sorry about that. Thank you, Pastor.
No problem. Good work.
Let's see here. Would you hold my book just a minute? There we go.
Sir. Yes, sir.
You know, we sang this song called Raise a Hallelujah. And I think we need to be able and be ready. You know, I told the choir the story about this was that this group was praying for a young child who was very, very sick, and how they really prayed for him. And they sat down after that and wrote this song. This young child was going through a rough time, just like we go through. The young child in the video of the song presentation is out on his dad's shoulder, healed and well. The Lord restored the young child. But in our lives, can we raise a hallelujah when we're sitting at home, maybe bored, maybe doing nothing, maybe running out of everything to do? I don't know. Can we be that way when we're in a line waiting on, we're 6 feet apart? Can we do that? Be that way when, you know, I've noticed on my Facebook friends that there's been several instances of needing unspoken prayer this week. And, you know, we don't know what's going on in everybody's life for sure, but may this song minister to you, and sing it with me if you know it. Some of the young folks maybe hears it on a radio song.
I raise a hallelujah.
I was looking up some songs this week that had to do with prayer, because that's what the pastor is bringing the message about, I think, again today, huh?
Yes.
Okay. And as I typed that word, or looked up that word in the hymnal, it brought this old song, and it's entitled, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And when we're praying, when we're aligning our will with the Lord's will, we're going to have a closer walk. The scripture says, 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Thank you. Father, thank you and praise you for who you are. Lord, you love us so. You take care of us. Lord, you bring us to this earth. You have a plan for us, and you have a path for us. And Lord, I just pray that we can be on that path that you'd have us to be, and that while we're on that path, that we'll reflect you to a world that needs to know about you. Pray for those that may be looking at this broadcast today, that may not even attend our church, but that's looking for answers. The pastor's going to tell you what the answer to all of our problems are. It was for me, and it will be for you. Thank you and praise you, Lord, for all you do for us. Forgive us of our sins and errors, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Robert.
All right. Just a closer walk with thee. I know that's my prayer. I hope that's your prayer as well. I believe that what we're going to talk about together this morning in God's Word is designed to do just that, give us a closer walk with Him. And that's what we need more than anything. So I see several more have logged in and are watching this morning. So hello to y'all, Michelle and Farron and Carolyn. And I'm sure there's others that I've missed, but everybody that's with us, thank you for being with us this morning. Glad to have you. All right, if you will, go ahead and open up with me in the Word to Mark chapter 1, the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. We're going to be in chapter 1 together this morning, and last week we began a new sermon series after 3+ months in Genesis. Which was a great sermon series. I enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed it as well. But we began a new sermon series on prayer. And we looked specifically at the model prayer that Jesus shared while he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. And that model prayer, even though it only makes up a few short verses, there's so much there for us to learn about how to pray and what to pray for. And that's the goal of this entire sermon series, is to equip us to pray effectively and to motivate us to pray continuously. So Eddie and Melissa, I see y'all are on. And Logan, I see you've logged in. So good to see everybody. I'm kind of ADD. When I look up and see people logged in, I'm probably going to stop right in the middle of a sentence and say hello because, you know, I miss you guys. And it's good to see, even if it's just a Facebook profile picture, I still enjoy seeing that that everybody is together. So, all right. I've said this a bunch of times before. I'm going to keep on saying it. Of all the things that we're called to do as Christians, I believe prayer is the most important. Because a strong prayer life equips us to do all the other things that we're called to do as followers of Christ, right? If we want to study God's Word, we're going to be better students of the Word if we've spent time with the Lord in prayer. If we want to serve others, if we want to follow the example of our Lord and Savior, because he served others, he washed the disciples' feet. If we want to serve others, we're going to be better equipped to do that if we've spent time in prayer, right? If we want to share our faith, if we want to share the gospel, the hope that we have through the cross of Jesus Christ, we're going to be better equipped to do that if we've spent time in prayer. So the closer we are to God, equipped we are to live in a way that points others to him. All right, so we're going to look at a passage in Mark chapter 1 today, and it describes a particularly busy day in the life of Jesus. Jesus wasn't much for sitting around. Like, he stayed busy. There was a lot to do, and Jesus accomplished so much in his 3-year ministry here on this earth. And as we look at Jesus's life, as it's recorded in the Gospels, we can't help but notice how much time Jesus spends in prayer. And that time in prayer enabled him to accomplish the Father's will. So I want to ask you this morning, if you have a choice between being extremely busy or having nothing to do and being bored, which one would you choose? Most people I know would rather be busy than be bored. Amen. Right? Tish, I see she's logged on. So hello to Tish and Bob. Hope y'all are doing well. Praying for y'all as y'all make your trip to Georgia. So church, be praying for them. I told y'all I'm ADD. I'm going to lose my track every once in a while, but that's okay. Most people I know would rather be busy than be bored. Even if their schedule is full, they'll take that over sitting around with nothing to do. And maybe that's what's so frustrating about quarantine, right? I know many of you are still working, and so your day-to-day hasn't changed that much. But several of us have started to work from home, right? And so it's a big change. It's a unique situation that we're in. And we get tired of just sitting around the house. But I want you to think about one of the busiest days of your life, whenever that was. And I'm not talking about the good busy that makes the day go by faster. I'm talking about the kind of busy that just wears you out. And when the day's over, you feel like you need a 3-day vacation to recover from that busy day. I want you to think about that kind of a day. Have you ever had one of those days? Robert, you ever had one of those days that just wore you out? Well, Jesus has one of those days in Mark chapter 1, but he didn't need 3 days to recover from it. Jesus's response to this insanely busy day, it's very informative for us. We can learn a lot just by observing what Jesus did after this long day in ministry. And what we observe can help us to make the most of our time in prayer. That's our goal this morning, to learn from Scripture how to make the most of our prayer time. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer together before we turn our attention to Mark chapter 1. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is our privilege now to open your word. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and our minds directly from your word, and that you would use this teaching to draw us closer to you, God. We love you, God. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so hope you have your Bibles open to Mark chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 21. It says, "And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he, Jesus, entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as one of the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, 'What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee." Verse 29. "And immediately he left the synagogue, and he entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and he took her by the hand and he lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him." Verse 35. "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and he went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." So again, thinking about the busiest days that we've had, I don't know that any of us has had a day like that where he started out teaching in the synagogue, and then there in the middle of the synagogue, he's casting out demons, and he continues to teach, and the people are in awe of his teaching, and he leaves there. And you would think, okay, now it's time to relax. He comes to Simon's house. But there, Simon's mother-in-law was ill, and so he healed her. And then the next thing you know, the whole city had gathered at their door and were bringing the sick and the demon-possessed to him. And so he was casting out demons and healing the sick. And this was a heck of a day. It was a very busy day. So let's walk through a couple of points of emphasis that can help us to make sure that we're making the most of our prayer time. Because after that busy day, Jesus got up and he did what, church? He prayed. His response to a busy day was to pray. So, well, first of all, and Michelle said she misses seeing the points on the TV screen. I'll have to figure out a way to maybe like hold up cue cards or something to show y'all. But here's the first point, Michelle, so you can write this down. First of all of us need to make prayer a priority. Amen. If we want to make the most of our prayer time, then prayer's got to be a priority. That means prayer has to take precedence in our lives much more than it is right now. And believe me, I'm talking to myself first and foremost, but this is important for all of us. Prayer needs to be a priority. Look how Jesus made prayer a priority. He had just had this marathon day of teaching and healing, but instead of sleeping in, Jesus got up early before the sun had come up to do what? To pray. And if we would have continued reading in chapter 1, we would see that Jesus and the disciples continued to travel and to teach all throughout Galilee, just like they had done here in Capernaum. Jesus could have told the disciples, look, it's been a long day and we're going to be right back at it tomorrow. So y'all let me get a little bit of extra sleep and then we can be up and be on our way. Jesus could have said that, but Jesus knew the extra sleep wasn't going to prepare him for the work that he needed to do. Sleeping in would be nice, but if the choice came down to more sleep or more time in prayer, Jesus chose prayer every time. Why? Because prayer was a priority. Excuse me. Now, I am not really a morning person. Many of you are. Robert, are you a morning person? Okay, he says he is. I'm not a morning person. Some of y'all, your eyes pop open and you're up and ready to take on the day, right? But whether we're morning people or night owls, the example that Jesus sets for us remains the same. He started his day with prayer. So whether your day starts at 4:30 a.m. or whether you sleep till noon, whenever your day starts, begin the day with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And there are so many verses we could look at that make this point of how important it is to make prayer a priority. But I want to share one in particular with you. It's from Matthew chapter 6. That's where we were last week. Back in Matthew chapter 6 a couple of times again this morning. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and we see Jesus encouraging his followers not to waste time worrying about whether they're going to have everything they need. But instead, he tells them in verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We are to seek God first, not Facebook, not emails, not Fox News, not fill in the blank, whatever it is. We are to seek God first. And if we will seek God first, he promises to give us everything else that we need. And he knows better than we do what we really need anyway. Most of the things that we think we need so bad are just getting in the way of time we should be spending with God in his word and in prayer. Now, I would be lying if I told y'all that I start every single day with the Lord. Many days I wake up and the first thing I grab is my phone instead of my Bible. And that's to my shame. And I want to do better and I'm going to do better. But the days that I do start spending time with God's word, they always go better than when I don't. And when I say they go better, I don't mean everything's good and nothing bad happens. Because that's not the way that it works. What I mean is, the days that I start with the Lord, all throughout the day, I feel his presence much stronger. And I'm much more prepared to fight against temptation and to actually do the work that God calls me to do on those days that I begin with Him. So I've seen it for myself. I've experienced it. Many of you have as well. So if we want to make the most of our prayer time, we got to make prayer a priority. It's not always easy, but it is always worth it. So let's make prayer a priority. Are you with me, church?
Amen.
Are you ready to move past the old failures in prayer that so many of us experience and move on to a deeper and a stronger prayer life? I know I am. I know you are too. So I'm going to be praying for y'all this week that prayer will be a priority in your life. I want to ask you, please pray that for me as well. Pray for your pastor that prayer will absolutely be the priority in my life. Okay, so that was number one. Moving on to number two. The next way that we can make the most of our prayer time is to choose the place of prayer wisely. So that's point number two. Choose the place of prayer wisely. Believe it or not, the place that we pray can really affect the quality of our prayer time. Verse 35 of Mark chapter 1 that we just read tells us that Jesus got up early while it was still dark, and he went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Now, desolate means empty, deserted. Why do you think Jesus went to a desolate place to pray? A couple of reasons come to mind. Well, he wanted privacy so that he could speak with his heavenly Father alone. And he wanted to be somewhere that he would have no distractions that would take his focus off of what he was doing. Again, if we want to take our prayer lives to the next level and reach a closer walk with him, like we just sang about, we've got to make the most of our prayer time. We've got to eliminate the distractions if we're going to do that. Okay, so again, back to Matthew chapter 6. Listen to Jesus' words in verses 5 and 6. Matthew chapter 6, 5 and 6. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So Jesus says for us to get away and get alone and pray. Now that doesn't mean that it's bad for us to pray in front of others. We certainly can and certainly should pray out loud and in front of others in many different situations, right? We pray out loud together in church. And we pray out loud for other people when they're going through hard times. And we can do that wherever we're at, whether we're in the church house, whether we're in Walmart, whether we're at the ballpark. If you are having a conversation with somebody and they're going through a hard time, you can say, brother, sister, I'll be praying for you. But maybe God's calling you to stop and pray with them and for them right there and right then. There's definitely a time to pray out loud with others. But there's also a time that we are definitely supposed to get away from everything and get alone with God and spend time in private prayer with no distractions. And of all the things that the devil hates for Christians to do, prayer is probably at the top, wouldn't you think? Prayer and certainly worship have got to be right at the top of the things that the devil does not want us doing. And therefore, the devil's going to do everything possible to distract us and make the time that we do spend in prayer as ineffective as possible. Listen, he's going to remind you of everything that you need to do in the day that you normally wouldn't even think about. But, buddy, you sit down to pray and all of a sudden it's like everything just comes into focus and you know all these other things you need to be doing. And a lot of times that's the enemy trying to draw our focus away from prayer. A lot of times you sit down to pray and all of a sudden you get that urge to open up your phone and get on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or TikTok or whatever it is on our phones that draws our attention so much. The devil wants to use that to draw our attention away from eternal things. Do you think Jesus took his iPad or his iPhone with him to the desolate place? I don't think that he did. Of course he didn't. You see, maybe the desolate place is not just the absence of people, but maybe it's also the removal of things that can detour us or hinder us from talking to the Lord. So I've already admitted to not being a morning person, but a couple of times this week, I have gotten up early before the sun came up, which is really unusual for me. And I got up and I went out and sat on the front porch and I just enjoyed the silence. And really the birds were the only ones up. They were talking, but the sun hadn't even come up yet. And I just sat there and enjoyed the peace and the silence. And I just talked with the Lord. But listen, the times that I do get up and do that, which are wonderful, but I'm not a morning person, so it's a struggle. Every single time that I do that, it's a battle. Because it's amazing some of the dumb and random things that'll pop into my head as I'm trying to pray. It's a battle, like so many other things in life. And it takes discipline to fight off those distractions and to fight off those random thoughts and to keep our minds focused on God. It's hard. It's a battle, but we can do it. How do we do it? In our own strength? No, in Him. We abide in Him. We trust in Him. We're weak, but He is strong. Amen? Amen. So whether you get up early and you see the sun come up, as you're spending time in prayer with the Lord, or whether you get alone in a prayer closet with the Lord before you go to bed, whenever and wherever your spot is that you pray, choose it wisely so you can make the most of time in prayer. So we want to make prayer a priority, and we want to choose the place of prayer wisely. Okay, so now the third and final way that we can make the most of our prayer time is by remembering the purpose of prayer. We've got to remember the reason that we're praying. Prayer should have a purpose, shouldn't it? It's not mindless repetition of the same words over and over, as if there's some kind of formula to get us what we want from God. Prayer should be so much more than that. Prayer is both talking to God and listening to God. But a lot of people begin and end with that first part, right? Talking to God. That's where we begin. That's where we end with prayer. We tell God what we want, and many times we even tell Him how He should go about giving it to us. We treat God like He's a genie in a magic lamp that has to do our bidding. But listen, if we want to have it our way, we need to go on down the road to Burger King, because that's where you get it your way. Okay? That's their slogan. That's not God's slogan. It's God's kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Prayer is not about letting God know what we need from Him. That's not what real prayer is. God already knows what we need long before we do. Prayer is about us taking our focus off of ourselves and off of this world and placing it where it belongs, on God alone. Prayer is inviting God into our circumstances, into our hopes, into our fears, into our dreams, into our pain. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not working our way through a grocery list of requests that we desire God to perform or answer in the way that we expect Him to. Prayer allows us to live relationally with God. Living relationally means we can learn to talk to God, listen to God, and think about God all throughout our day. As we wake up in the morning, as we make our way to work, as we interact with other people, we can stay in that attitude of prayer all day long. God wants a relationship with us, and relationships require communication. Prayer includes a lot more than just asking God for what we need. Listen, here's a few things that prayer should always include. It should include thanksgiving and worship. That needs to be a part of our prayer time, where we thank God for what he's already done and for what he's going to do. He's good and he's faithful. He's in control. And we need to praise him and thank him for what he's done in the past and what he's going to do in the present and in the future. Amen, church. Amen. Prayer should also always include confession and repentance. We should follow the lead of David in Psalm 139. Verses 23 and 24, where it says, "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. And if there be any grievous way in me, lead me in the way of everlasting." See, the Holy Spirit will show us where we've fallen short. And once we confess and we repent of where we've fallen short, God draws us back to him in unbroken, uninterrupted fellowship. So prayer should include thanksgiving and worship. It should include confession and repentance. Prayer should also include intercession for others, right? We intercede on others' behalf. Remember, the great commandment is love God and love who? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, by all means, please pray for your literal neighbors that live next to you. That's a great thing to do. But neighbors means more than that. It means basically your fellow man and fellow woman. So pray for others. And we need to pray for them just as passionately as we pray about our own circumstances. That's part of humbling ourselves. That's part of serving others, right? That's part of loving our neighbor as ourselves, is praying for their salvation, for their walk with the Lord to be close, for praying for their healing, for praying for their provision, for everything, for their relationships. We pray for them just as passionately as we pray for our own lives. Okay, prayer is all those things. It's also just about being still and enjoying the presence of God. Just sitting and resting in the presence of God. Good for the soul. That is good for the mind. It's good all the way around. That's good for us. We don't have to fill up the sides. We can just sit and rest and think about God and think about his love for us, right? We can sit and think about the kind of love that drove Jesus to the cross on our behalf, to take my place, to take your place. We can sit and think about the fact that Jesus is not dead. He came up out of that grave and he sits at the right hand of the Father and he is interceding for us right now. We can think about that. Just sit and think about that. What an unbelievable honor and privilege it is to have Jesus Christ interceding on our behalf. Then we can sit and we can think about the day that we're going to be in his presence fully and completely in his presence, because someday he's going to return. He's going to defeat sin and death. He's going to usher in a new heaven. He's going to make all things new. Do you think it'd be good for us mentally, physically, emotionally to just sit and think on things like that? Do you think maybe it would put a lot of our problems into perspective if we'd sit and think about things like that? I believe it would, church. If we want to make the most of our prayer time, we've got to remember the purpose of prayer. Prayer is such an important part of our lives as believers in Christ. So I want to challenge you right here and right now to make the most of your prayer time. Make it a priority. Seek him first. And when you do that, you're going to watch your God grow closer and stronger, and you're going to watch the worries and the fears of this world grow smaller. Amen. I want to challenge you to choose the place of prayer wisely so you can avoid all distractions. And I want to challenge you to remember the purpose of prayer. If you'll do that each day, and if I'll do that each day, God will bless that. Now, I don't want to give you some unattainable goal like, "Today, church, I want you to spend 3 hours in prayer." Some of you may already do that or more. And praise God, someday I hope we get there to where we're spending the majority of our day in prayer with the Lord. But let's start with a reachable goal. So I want to challenge you, spend 5 this afternoon. Put away the distractions, spend 5 minutes, and then do it again tomorrow and do it again the next day. And before you know it, you're going to sit down intending on spending 5 minutes. And then when you'll get up and realize you spent 15 or 20 or 30. And listen, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, the time we spend isn't as important as the quality of time that we spend. We want to make the most of whatever time in prayer that we have. So if we're going to be anything, church, let's be a people that is committed to prayer. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. It is always good. We pray, God, that we will rise up and accept this challenge and that we will be people that make the most of our prayer time. I pray, God, that we'll just be united together as believers and that we will lift each other up, that we'll lift up our family members, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, and we'll lift up our leaders, we'll lift up our country, we'll lift up our world to you, and that we will be committed to prayer, God, and that we'll grow in that. And what is such a struggle at first as we continue in obedience, God, that you will make those struggles easier and that we'll develop the discipline of prayer. We'll develop a hunger and a thirst for righteousness like you talked about, Lord. I pray that you would give that to us, that you would stoke the fire within us and that it would consume us and that we would just be on fire for you, Lord. We love you. God, thank you for every blessing. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now listen, I see most of the people that are on here, but there could be other people that are watching or that will watch this video at some time, and you hear all this stuff about making the most of your prayer time, and you say, I don't ever pray because I don't know the Lord, and I don't even really know what that means to know the Lord. Well, I want to explain that. If we were here together on a Sunday morning, the gospel would always be presented, and I want to present it clearly. And so, church, be praying that anybody that would hear this would hear it and understand, and the Holy Spirit would draw them into a saving relationship with the Lord. So, listen, every single one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Me, you, every person that's ever lived, we fall short of God's glory and his standard. He is perfect and sinless and good and holy, and we are depraved and sinful. But he loves us so much that he sent his only son into this world to take on human flesh, to live a perfect sinless life. He was convicted unjustly. He never did anything wrong, but he was still put to death on a cross. And he died on that cross. He shed his blood so that we wouldn't have to be hung on a cross and shed our blood. He died in our place. He paid the price for our sins. And because he did that, if we confess our sins and we believe that Jesus died for us and rose again, we will be saved. That's what the Bible tells us. That's all there is to it. Jesus did everything. Jesus has already conquered death in the grave. He's conquered sin. And all we have to do is confess and believe that and receive what he did for us. So if you've never accepted that from Jesus, you don't know what it's like to have a close walk with him. I want to invite you to pray. You don't have to pray these words. You can pray whatever comes from your heart. It's just talking to God. He's God the Father. We have a relationship with him. You don't have to pray some fancy prayer. You can just speak from the heart and say something like this. Say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. But I know that in spite of my sin, you love me and you made a way for me to be close to you and to know you and to spend eternity with you. Jesus did that for me on the cross. And so I accept what he did. He paid my penalty. And I know that through his blood that was shed on the cross, I can be saved. So God, save me and walk with me the rest of my days. God, help me to know you more. I love you. Amen. If you prayed something like that, then you have just begun the greatest relationship that you'll ever experience. And that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I want to celebrate that with you. Jesus doesn't save us so that we can walk that journey alone. Most importantly, first and foremost, he walks that journey with us, right? We're never alone again after we accept him as Savior. But he also has created the church. He has created this body of believers so that we can walk through life together. And so if you just became a Christian, if you just prayed that prayer, then I would love to know about it so I can celebrate it with you and so that I can just help you walk down that road of faith, of living and walking by faith. So you can contact me through Facebook. You can contact the church, whether it's on our website. You can call the church number, 937-2460. You can call me on my cell phone, 205-587-0303. Whatever way possible that you could get into contact with me, I'd love to hear if you prayed that prayer. Now, if you're already a Christian and you're just watching today, I would love to minister to you. I said this at the beginning. I'll say it again now. Just because we're quarantined and just because we're separated now temporarily, I'm still your pastor. I still love you and I still want to minister to you. So please, if you have a need, if you know of anybody in the church or in the community that has a need, please contact me and let me know so that I can pray for you and so that I can be there for you in any way possible. I'll do anything that I can possibly do to help you. I love y'all. Thank y'all for being here with us this morning. Robert, thank you for leading us in worship. Great job, as he always does. And I thank each and every one of you from our Pine Grove Baptist Church family, and then there's several from Beechwood, several from Gardendale, family members that are watching. And I just love that the church is more than just a physical building. It is God's believers in Christ all over this world. We make up the church. And so I thank you for being with us this morning. I love y'all, and I pray that God will bless you. Be back with us Wednesday night for Bible study. Love y'all. Have a great day.